Amen. Thank you, Dean. Hello, family, again. All right. We're not going to get up and greet this week, but maybe we'll do it next week. We got to kind of get into the message this morning. Dean prayed for the Piper family. Maybe some of you don't know, but Danny Piper was found dead in his home on Monday. Danny lived just down the street from Carol and I, and next door to Larry and Rita, and close to the Wilsons as well. So, we're all shocked. And I just want to say something about this, okay? It's really natural to want to pull back and not know what to say when someone has experienced such tragedy. But as the body of Christ, I think it's really important, especially for those who have some kind of relationship with them. I just want to encourage you. Would you just be sensitive to the Spirit of God leading you in some way? Whether it be the kids at school, in the middle school, or the elementary school, whether it be Kelly, whether it be other family members, whether it be other people who are just devastated at his loss. Would you just consider following the Holy Spirit's lead to reach out with a word of kindness, a Facebook message that says, "We love you so much. We are so sorry for your loss." Or some food or something. I'm not going to tell you what. And I know maybe it's not appropriate for everyone. And we want to honor their privacy. But I'll tell you, I've been doing this a long time and I've experienced some loss myself. More often than not, God's people, they pull back instead of press in because they don't know what to do. And I would just encourage you, let's not do that, okay? And they need our prayers, they need our support, they need our kindness. So would you pray for them? And would you, as you have opportunity, just love them, whether it's from afar or a little bit closer, okay? And then kind of to piggyback off of that, I've been meaning to do this. I'm not going to talk about this really right now, but I'm going to send another message this week with some links to some biblical counseling resources, okay? And I'll talk about this another time on a Sunday, but some of you and some of us have gone through some really, really dark, hard times in the last 3 years, and we have been blessed through biblical counseling, okay? And what I'd like to do is just refer some resources that have helped some of us get through, whether it's depression or anxiety or loss or transition. And please don't think that you're alone, and don't isolate yourself if you're struggling. Please don't do that. Okay? And a year and a half ago, I went through some counseling for transition because I was having a hard time transitioning from Kajabe, Kenya to Britt, Iowa. I mean, I don't know why, but I was having a hard time. And I was having a hard time really closing that door so that I could really settle here, and a biblical counselor helped me with that and helped me unpack some things that I didn't have time to deal with myself in just all the stuff that was going on with COVID and everything else and all the leadership things that it just kept me driving and driving and driving. So please reach out, call me, call the church office, reach out to a friend, take advantage of some of these resources, and if money's an issue, let us help you. Because we want to help you, okay? So that's all I'm going to say about that for today, anyway. Okay, so we're in Daniel 2, verses 1 through 30. Nathan already read the passage for us. Now, I'm going to ask you a question as we get into that. Why don't you open your Bibles to Daniel 2, okay? I want to ask you a question. Have you ever faced a situation that seemed impossible to you? Have you ever been in a situation where you were like, "This is impossible. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Maybe a situation in your job or at school where you were pressured to kind of compromise your beliefs or conform or affirm something that you know offends God, and it felt like an impossible situation. Have you ever been there? Or maybe a situation where you had to confront someone or people in authority over you for some kind of wrongdoing or sin and call them to repentance. You know, actually, this has happened to me several times. God has placed me in situations where I've waited for other people. Somebody's got to confront them about this. And man, it's like I'm the poster boy for this. And God says, I want you to do it. I've done it in secular jobs outside the church. I've done it inside ministry. And not too long ago, the Lord placed me in a situation where no one else would move and call some high leaders to repentance and confront some things. And you know what? I had to do that not on just this level or this level, but this level. And it cost me. But when I look back at that, it seemed impossible. When I look back at that, I see how that opened the door for God to work, for God's glory to take hold, for there to be repentance, and for there to be change, right? I don't know, maybe you've been in a situation where you've had to confront someone who's your superior for something. It doesn't always end well, humanly speaking, and it hasn't always for me, but the Lord seems to just put me in those situations and say, Steve, I want you to do this. Or maybe you've been faced with a family situation where following Christ means being rejected, okay, by the people who maybe have the most influence and the most power in your life in certain ways, right? Especially as people who you're most intimately connected to. Have you ever been in an impossible situation like that? It's difficult, right? Because in those situations, we're faced with the threat of losing things, losing important things, income sometimes, opportunities for ministry or at work to do something we love, and relationships. As we get into the text this morning, I want you to consider something. This is kind of the big truth for the passage this morning, and here it is, that sometimes God places his people in impossible situations, okay? Or situations that seem impossible to us, to reveal his greatness through our faithfulness. That's what the passage is about this morning, okay? And it was true for Daniel, but it's true for us. Sometimes God places us in situations that seem impossible, but he has a plan. And sometimes that plan is to reveal his glory, to reveal his greatness through our faithfulness. That's exactly what we see in Daniel chapter 2. And we're going to just focus on 1 through 30 today. So Daniel was faced with this impossible situation, okay? And just to quickly summarize, because Nathan's already read it, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, he was having bad dreams, right? Actually one dream over and over and over again. And it was so bad that in verse 1, it says his spirit was troubled and sleep left him. Man, what an understatement, I'm sure. Have you ever been so troubled that you couldn't sleep? Is it just me? Oh man, isn't it miserable? So night after night after night, the king of Babylon would have this dream, and he would be so filled with troubling feelings, right? Maybe anxiety and stress and dismay that sleep just left him, okay? And so the king, he calls his senior advisors together, and he commands them not only to give the interpretation of the dream, but explain the content of the dream as well, all right? And in verse 9, you know, if you look at verse 9, you'll see that the king says, listen, if you give me the dream and tell me the dream, then I'll know that you really have the interpretation, all right? So that gives you a window. I mean, either he couldn't remember the dream, but what I kind of think gives you a window into his insecurity and his paranoia, right? And he told them that the penalty for not being able to give the dream and the interpretation was what? They were going to be torn limb from limb, and their houses were to be laid in ruins, which probably means that their families were killed, all their possessions were taken, and their property destroyed, okay? So in verses 10, 11, and 11, these wise men, they basically say this, like, this is impossible. Like, no one can do this. What you're asking something no man on earth has ever been able to do, okay? Only the gods can do this, is a paraphrase of 10 and 11. And now look at verses 12 and 13, and I'll read these. And it says, because of this, because of their response, man can't do this. Only the gods can do this. Because of that, the king was very angry. He was angry and very furious. And he commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them too. I mean, looking at it from a human perspective, this is an impossible situation, right? But listen, it wasn't Nebuchadnezzar that placed Daniel in that place or that position. It was God who placed Daniel in that situation, right? And he did it for a purpose, to make his name and his glory known to a ruthless pagan king, okay? Now, there's a picture here of God's servant speaking God's truth to earthly powers, and we see that just over and over again in the scriptures, right? We see that, think about Joseph, if you know your Old Testament, Elijah, Jeremiah, right? John the Baptist in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, and then ultimately the perfect example of that is Jesus, the servant of God, speaking the truth of God, displaying the glory of God to an ungodly human power. And all of these men, very different personalities, very different people, different situations, but they had one thing in common. This is really important as we move into the points of the message, okay? They had one thing in common. They were fully submitted to the leading and the empowering of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Every one of those men were full of the Holy Spirit. They were submitted to the Holy Spirit. And being submitted to the leading of the Holy Spirit, their lives were open to the power of the Holy Spirit being unleashed through their lives. In 4:9, Daniel 4:9, you don't have to go there, but even Nebuchadnezzar recognizes this in Daniel. In Daniel 4:9, he says to Daniel, he says, listen, I know the spirit of the holy gods is in you, right? He still didn't need, he didn't know the holy God yet, but he knew this person is filled with the spirit of the holy gods, all right? And so here's what we're going to see through Daniel's response. We're going to see three qualities of spirit-empowered faithfulness, okay, that was on display in Daniel's life. And these are qualities that God wants to deposit in our lives as well and wants to grow in our lives as well. And here they are. I'll move through them pretty quickly. First, his speech was marked by wisdom, and it was a wisdom that was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Second, his life was marked by prayer, and it was prayer that was submitted and in intimate, sensitive communication with the Holy Spirit. And then the third one, he was willing to speak truth to power, okay? And that prayer in the middle is maybe the quality that links the two. If you look on your questions for reflection and discussion in your bulletin, I actually changed these points, you know, during the weekend. Like on Thursday, I had to turn that in. So that last point, you can just cross out the blank, and he was filled, or he was willing to speak truth to power. Okay, so here we go. First, Daniel's speech was marked by spiritual wisdom. Verse 14, Daniel replied with prudence and discretion, is what the writer of Daniel says. when he heard what was happening, okay? Prudence and discretion, some of your translations say counsel and wisdom. That Daniel replied with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel, here's what Daniel said. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is this decree of the king so urgent?" Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time so that he might show the interpretation to the king. It's easy to kind of just read over that, but there's actually a lot happening there, okay? There was a discretion or a wisdom in Daniel, not only in his words, not only in what he said, but in the manner in which he spoke, okay? And also in the pattern of his behavior, if we kind of think about the larger context, right? That Daniel had a very deep, sensitive sense and understanding of this situation. And part of that is because he knew Arioch, and he knew the king of Babylon, and he had developed and gained influence and respect, okay? By walking in wisdom in the little everyday things of life. And by walking in wisdom in the little everyday things of life, he was placed in a position where he was able to exercise great discernment and wisdom in this big, impossible situation. Here's an interesting fact. You probably don't know this. I didn't before I studied this passage. That the word that's translated in the English language, wisdom or discretion, did you know that it's related to this Hebrew verb, to taste? Did you know that? That discretion and wisdom, which is actually in Aramaic here, is related to the Hebrew word to taste. And you could say that Daniel's wisdom was a highly developed sense of spiritual taste. Do you know people who have like a really, we say people have a good taste in certain things, right? Do you know anybody who's kind of like has a really highly developed or highly sensitive taste for coffee? Like I got friends and I got people different places, right? I know people all over the place because just we've been a lot of different places. But we served in Kenya with people coming in and out. I got some friends from Kenya who are different places now who have, they're coffee aficionados, okay? So they're really all about just single origin coffee and flavor profiles. And so there's some people that I can drink coffee with and they'll say, "Oh, this just kind of I taste chocolate in this, right?" Or, "Yeah, this has a fruity taste. I taste apricot." And like to me, it tastes like coffee, right? So is anybody kind of a coffee aficionado, right? I mean, with wine, you can think about that in wine. Some people have such a highly refined and developed taste in wine that they can, just by tasting a glass of wine, they know the vintage, right? The year that it was bottled, and they know the vineyard it was produced in, right? Tea leaves. So there are people that have such a highly developed taste in tea, they can drink a cup of tea and they can say, these are tea leaves from Kenya. These are from India. These are from Singapore. Okay? So I say that because in some ways spiritual wisdom is like that. Okay? It's this really highly developed sense of God's ways that's learned through experience in obeying God's word. Okay? In the small everyday things, okay, as well as the big monumental things. And so it's like this sensitive awareness of this, of the deeper realities of a specific situation, right? And it's an awareness of how, for us, a follower of Christ should speak and behave in kind of in the moment, understanding the deeper realities of a specific situation. That's what spiritual wisdom is, okay? That was Daniel's wisdom as he moves through this situation and responds. And wisdom matures, and as it matured in Daniel's life, it matures in our lives as we gain experience applying God's word And as we gain experience in submitting to the leading of God's Spirit, we have to be taught that. Many of us have to be taught how to be quiet, how to listen to the Holy Spirit. And many of us have to be led to submit our lives and submit our hearts to the lordship of the Spirit, right? These things are Spirit empowered, okay? You know how I learned this? I learned it in relationship with men who are more spiritually mature than me. I learned it in relationship with spiritual mentors. I've learned it in relationship with spiritual friends who have discernment, spiritual friends who know how to listen to the Holy Spirit. My daughter, Carlin, has a tremendous taste, discernment, wisdom spiritually, and she has this, man, really powerful capacity to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit and apply biblical truth. And she teaches me stuff, which is humbling, right? This has just started. Like, I've just noticed that she, like, I'm like, wait a minute. Like, you're teaching me this. So, but she's a good teacher. And anyway, his speech was marked by wisdom. It's a Spirit-empowered quality that we need as God leads us into hard and impossible situations. And as followers of Christ, as he leads us into just the challenges that come with following Christ, okay? And so that's developed over time, and it's developed in the everyday things. And that sense of taste is developed by knowing God's word, which means we have to be in God's word. It's developed by learning how to understand more deeply what's going on in a person's life or in a situation, understanding the deeper realities, right? That comes through experience and applying the truth of God's word and knowing what to do or what not to do and knowing what to say or not what not to say, okay? Daniel had a supernatural gifting of this for us. Some of us do, but we need to help each other in relationship. And for those who don't have that wisdom, we need to find someone who is wise and share our lives with them, okay? Here's the second quality of Spirit-empowered faithfulness that we see in Daniel, okay? We're going to need this quality if we're going to be faithful in the hard things that God calls us to, okay? And that's a life marked by prayer. This is maybe the most vital one, because I don't think we'll be willing to speak the truth to power and authority if our lives are not marked by prayer. Okay, verses 17 and 18. Then Daniel went and to his house, and he made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, his companions. As soon as Daniel heard what was going on, and he talked with Azariah, right? He immediately went back to his house and he gathered his friends, okay? And he told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Okay, so I want you to notice a couple things here. Daniel's life was marked by prayer in this, that man, when he was in distress, first thing he did was gather people and pray. Okay? He didn't first try to figure out, you know, his tactics or try to figure out how he was going to fix this himself. The first thing he did wasn't to go home and wring his hands in anxiety. The first thing he did was he gathered his friends and they got on their knees and they prayed for God's mercy. Okay? And my question is, are our lives kind of marked by that kind of prayer that's first and frequent, that invites others in and says, pray with me. We got to labor in prayer. We got to pray urgently for this, right? That's really important. if we're gonna walk in faithfulness in the hard places that the Lord puts us for his glory, okay? Here's something else. I want you to notice that Daniel told his friends to seek God's mercy as they prayed. Notice he didn't just say, hey, man, get on your knees and pray that this dream will be revealed, okay? He said, he told his friends to seek God's mercy as they prayed. And listen, not just for themselves, but for the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Here's the missionary in me coming out. It comes out a lot, I know, and I know that it annoys some of you, but look at verse 24. I want you to see Daniel's concern for the welfare of these lost pagan enemies. A very simple sentence. He says, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon when he comes to Arioch, right? He rushes to the king. He rushes to Arioch and says, Lord, don't destroy them, okay? Don't do it. So when he told his friends to seek the mercy of God, of the God of heaven, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men, what that means is that he's like, guys, pray for God's mercy so that we'll all be saved. Man, that so reflects God's heart in Christ. If you remember in Jeremiah 31, read that a few weeks ago, you know, Jeremiah sends a letter to the captives in Babylon, and he said, pray for the welfare of the city to which you've been taken into exile. Pray for their welfare, because your welfare is connected to their welfare. But there's a missionary kind of vein that goes through all of this, that God wanted the people of Israel, as he took them into exile, to live as missionaries. And God had not only the good of the people of Israel to refine this idolatry out of them, but also to save these pagan people, okay? This so reflects God's heart in Christ. Matthew 5, 43 and 44, you don't have to go there, but, you know, Jesus said this. You've heard it said that you shall love your neighbors and hate your enemies, but Jesus says, listen, this is what I say to you, and this is his heart that's displayed on the cross. He says, you shall love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Why? So that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Because that's the Father's heart, family. Are you listening to me? That's the Father's heart. Now listen, are your prayers marked by that kind of love for your enemies? That's what I'm asking you, okay? And I'm telling you, a life marked by prayer that's Spirit-empowered will be so devoted to the glory of God in the salvation of sinners that we'll be compelled to pray that way. Man, my heart is so broken that we don't pray that way. And here's what's mind-blowing as we keep going, okay? That after Daniel pours out his heart in prayer, what does he do? He goes to sleep. That amazes me. Like, he prays. So tomorrow could be his last day on earth, right? Because if he doesn't get the interpretation, everybody's going to be executed. And so he urgently gets them, his friends together. They pray, and then he goes to sleep. Man, that's faith, and that's rest. He prays, he puts the situation in God's hand, and then did what the king couldn't do. He just got a good night's rest. I love that about him. And as he did, God revealed the mystery to him in his dream. And so here's my point, that there's power, okay, and there's peace in a life marked by prayer. There's power and there's peace. When I invest the first hour of my day in prayer and silence and meditating on God's word, I like to meditate from the Psalms, usually one psalm, and I really like to just fill my mind with the truth of who God is and his character and his promises, okay? When I do that, when I start my day that way, man, there's such a peace that is mine and such a confidence. And when I don't, so quickly anxiety and stress and insecurity start to come up in me. A life marked by prayer leads to a life marked by peace, okay? I'll just confess to you that for, you know, most of my time here, it's been my daily thing, is I don't care how busy I am, first hour of the day is with the Lord. And that is not studying for this either. That is quiet, silence, listening, meditating on Scripture, and praying and interceding for y'all. Okay? Since I got COVID and then I've had these health problems, man, I've gotten away from that. It's been because I didn't have the energy. And then I let the busyness and the pull of expectations get to me. And I've repented of that. And I've started again to invest the first hour of my day. If I have to get up an hour earlier, I'm going to get up an hour earlier. If I have to get up at 4, I'll get up at 4. If I have to get up at 6, I'll get up at 6. If I have to, in the middle of the day, stop everything, I'll do it then, right? But there's power and there's peace in a life marked by prayer. Now, I want you to see how this prayer kind of turns from pleading for God's mercy into thanksgiving as Daniel receives what he asked for. Verses 20 to 23. Daniel answered and he said, "Blessed be the name of the God of God forever and ever, for to whom belong wisdom and might." Listen to some of the truths about God's character that anchored Daniel's mind in peace, okay? I've actually put this in my journal because I want to start my morning anchoring my mind with truths about God's character. I need to be anchored in peace, remembering who God is. But listen to how Daniel praises God. He says, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever." And here's God's character. This is who God is. "To whom belong wisdom and might." I don't have to be mighty and wise in my own strength, because to God belongs wisdom and might. "He changes times and seasons." I don't have to anxiously try to hold things together or change a time or a season, because he's sovereign over that. "He removes kings and he sets up kings." I don't have to be anxious or afraid about what might happen, because all seasons and all things are in God's hands, right? "He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." If I need to be wise, when I need wisdom, I ask and he gives it, right? If I need understanding, he's the one that gives it. "He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what's in the darkness, and the light dwells with him." God knows what's in the dark, so I don't have to be afraid of the dark, do I? Right? And the light dwells with him. And so when I dwell with him, I dwell in the light. As John said, right? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? And he says that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all, right? And if we walk in repentance and we walk in faith, then we walk in the light as he is in the light. And then he says, "To you, God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might and have made known to me what you asked for, for you have made known the king's matter." Now, I want to ask you, we're getting close to the end now. I want to ask you, how might it change your life, okay? When you're in distress, how might it change your life how might it change your life If in your times of distress, you first run to God in prayer, okay? And while you do that, you remind yourself of what's true of his character. How might that change your life when you're in impossible situations or hard situations, or when you're anxious about your health or something out of your control? Man, I'm going to go to first and frequently to prayer. I'm going to gather my friends to pray, and then I'm going to rest because I'm going to be mindful of who God is, of what he's done, of who I am in him, and that he's sovereign, he's in control, so I don't have to be. Amen? All right, so now so Daniel now, he goes to see the king, okay? And here's what we find, the last quality of the spirit-empowered faithfulness in displayed in his life, and we'll kind of get more into this next week. But he was willing to boldly speak the truth to power. 27 and 28. Daniel answered the king after he was brought before the king, and the king said, "Do you have the interpretation?" Daniel said, "No wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked." Listen to how boldly he says this. "But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries." This is basically the same thing that the magicians and the wise men told the king, and he flipped out. Daniel boldly says, "Hey, no one can reveal this dream on earth, but there is a God in heaven, and I'm going to tell you about him. I'm going to reveal him to you." And we're going to see next week that the interpretation of this dream, that God is going to reveal himself, okay? "There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to the king what will be in the latter days." Okay, so we'll pick this up next week. I'm going to close by just with a few things, okay? We're wrapping this up, so everybody look at me. This is important. Are you looking at me? All right. So not many of us, or probably none of us, are going to be placed in an impossible situation like Daniel. Probably not. But everyone who follows Christ, if you are a follower of Christ, if you're actually following Christ, which I don't want to assume you are, you might be here and you're not following Christ, but everyone who follows Christ is going to be led into some kind of hard situation. Okay, and some kind of situation, and probably often that seems impossible to us. That's because God has a plan in it, okay? And so to the Christ followers here today, I'm going to speak to you. He has placed you, okay, where you are right now for his purposes. So wherever that is, he's placed you where you are for his purposes, okay? And he's placed you where you are to speak his truth, okay? To speak his truth to the world that God's wisdom and power are found in Jesus. That's what he's called you to. That's what followers of Christ are called to. If you're following Christ, don't be surprised. He's going to put you in a hard situation. And he's going to put you in a situation where through your faithfulness, he's going to reveal the glory of Jesus Christ as you speak to an unbelieving world that, hey, wisdom and power are only in Jesus. No place else. In no one else. Salvation is in no one else. The wisdom of God, no one else. Power for salvation and life and healing and wholeness, no place else but Jesus. Okay? And here's the thing. You don't have to be scared. Because he's sovereign, but also because he's given you his spirit, family, to speak confidently and without fear. I want you to remember this, that God took a conquered Hebrew captive, okay, or a conquered Hebrew prisoner of war, and he stood him boldly before a king facing his own execution. He did that with Daniel, right? And that's just a foretaste. Just a glimpse of what Jesus did for us, right? Jesus was taken before Pilate. He was taken before Herod. He was taken and he was brought and led by the Spirit before Satan himself, right? And he didn't only face the threat of death. He actually drank the cup of God's wrath for us, right? He actually endured death for us, right? For our sakes. And so, empowered by his Spirit, y'all can certainly speak the truth of God without fear, right? Empowered by his Spirit, God can enable you, and he will enable you. And he'll enable me too to faithfully speak the gospel of Jesus Christ with courage and confidence, whatever the cost. And don't be surprised if the most impossible situations turn out to be the ones where his glory is revealed in the most powerful ways. Let's pray. Most gracious Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, the truth of this word would fall in good soil in our hearts, that we would embrace it by faith, that we would be changed by it for your glory, for our good, and for our joy. In Jesus' name, amen.